This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah, our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them. Allah, our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. All praise due to Allah alone. Excuse me. We will praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one. And whomsoever Allah leaves aside, none can show Him guidance. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is His last messenger. My dear viewers, welcome to another live edition of our program, Gardens of the Pious. Today's episode is number 421. And it will be the seventh episode in studying chapter number 183, the chapter which deals with the virtues of certain chapters and verses of the glorious Quran. Today will be the seventh and hopefully the last, inshallah, in studying the chapter, and it really was worth it. It was very important to learn about the virtues of some of those chapters of the Quran. Hopefully, inshallah, we will act upon that. The first hadith in today's episode is hadith number 1021, sound hadith collected by Imam Muslim and narrated by Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من حفظ 10 آيات من أول سورة الكهف عصم من الدجال وفي رواية من آخر سورة الكهف رواهما مسلم. So we have two different narrations, both by Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him. Both are authenticated by Imam Muslim, the great collector of ahadith. And in them, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, says, whoever commits to memory, whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Surat Al-Kahf, he will be protected from the trial of Ad-Dajjal. Surat Al-Kahf is chapter number 18 of the glorious Quran. Whoever memorizes the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf will be guarded and protected against the trial of the Antichrist, the false Messiah, Al-Masih al-Dajjal, the one-eyed. In the other narration, he says, whoever memorizes the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf will be protected against the trial of the Antichrist or the false Messiah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us to all the means of protection against the various tests and trials, particularly the worst trial in this life, which is the trial of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. And he was known as Masih because one of his eyes is not just blinded, or he's not just one-eyed, he's one-eyed, but you don't see the other eye, you see a projection, like a piece of skin, a projection, instead of the eye. So it's like it is wiped out. So that is why he's known as Masih al-Dajjal, and he's the Antichrist, he's the false Messiah, and he is also the imposter. He's the greatest liar. In many hadith, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, warned us against the trial of the false Messiah. And he said particularly, there is not a single prophet before me but warned his people against the trial of the false Messiah. And I am warning you against the trial of the false Messiah. Indeed, he's one-eyed and your Lord is not one-eyed. And when he says one-eyed and your Lord is not one-eyed, Why do you have to say that you're Lord? Because the Messiah, the false Messiah, the imposter, the Antichrist, will claim that he is the Lord. And he will have some means to try people. Obviously, he will try those who will be ready to follow him from the beginning, the deviant from non-Muslims and the deviant from among Muslims as well. So he will claim that he's God, he's the Lord, he's the Creator. Even though he will have written between his two eyes and on the forehead the word kafara, kafara, or kafir, a disbeliever, or he disbelieved, kafara. In the hadith, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, says, يَقْرَأُهَا. Every person, whoever is a believer, whether he is literate or even illiterate, will be able to see it, will be able to read it, and will be able to recognize it. But those who will incline with the trial of the Messiah, they will neglect that. They will not get to see any of that. Among the means which Allah the Almighty will provide him with, because this is a test and a trial, like Satan is having some means through which he whispers to people, he misleads them, okay? He's given an access to that, but only by the leave of Allah. That he will order the sky to drop its rain. You see the cloud, you say drop your rain, so it will drop the rain. He will order the earth, the field, to grow its fruits, plants, and vegetations, and it will do so. But all of that is temporarily, and he would test one of the believers by making him or trying to make him submit to his will and admit that he is the Lord, but he will refuse. So he will slay him. Then after he will cut him into half, he will saw him into half, he will put the sword in the middle of his head. Then once he is split into half, he will walk between his two separate parts of his body to show everybody, to show his followers that the guy is definitely dead. This is not sorcery. Then he will ask him to come back to life. Then he will come back to life. So people would believe, his followers would believe that that must be God, because only God can give life back after death. Then he will address this person who was a believer. Huh? Now, do you believe that I'm the Lord? So this young Muslim, the steadfast, powerful, strong Muslim will say, now I'm more certain than even before, you are the imposter, you're the false Messiah, you're Al-Masih al-Dajjal, you're the Antichrist, whom our beloved Prophet, peace be upon him, warned us against. Why do we say it is the biggest trial ever since Allah created the heavens and the earth until the end of life? Because when people see somebody who has the power to give life after death, not just give death, and to order the rain to come down, and it does, and the field to grow its fruits and vegetations, and it does, they will say definitely, that must be God. But he's wicked, he's corrupt, he spreads mischief on earth. And he shall travel throughout the earth, not a single city in Houston, Texas, in Canada, in the UK, in Iran, in Iraq, anywhere in the world, in Egypt, he will enter and try its people, except Mecca and Medina. Particularly Medina, it will be guarded by the angels against him, so he cannot enter it. So there are a lot of people who are living in Medina, but they are not true believers. They are not steadfast. So Allah the Almighty will cause the Medina to shake, like with an earthquake. So they would run and they would flee, so that they would join the Antichrist or the false Messiah. You can imagine how terrible it is, such trial. It is to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded to seek refuge with Allah in every single prayer, after tashahud and before making taslim. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yad'u fi salah, used to invoke Allah the following invocation in the prayer. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you against the torment of the grave. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih ad-dajjal. And I seek refuge with you against the trial of the false messiah. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wa fitnati al-mamat. And I seek refuge with you against the trial of life and the trial of death. And those are the four things which the Prophet ﷺ used to openly seek refuge with Allah against after the tashahud and before making taslim. And the trial of life and death, the trial of life, particularly the last few moments before death. When the person is struggling to preserve his life, but eventually he will vanish. So if he is a believer, Allah the Almighty will keep him firm and will inspire him to say the kalima. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In the last stage of life and before death, Allah will inspire them to say the kalima. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. And similarly, in the hereafter, the Almighty Allah will give them tathbeet in the grave, the first stage of the hereafter. So that when the angels, Munkar and Nakir, will ask him, who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? What is your religion? The answer will flow easily on their tongues. This is the tathbeet. And this is the trial of life and the trial of death. So those are the four things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek refuge with against in the prayer. Imam Muslim narrated a hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, commanded the recitation of the first ayat of Surah Al-Kahf on the false Messiah. In some other narrations, the last ayat, the last 10 verses of the Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ مِنْكُمْ فَلْيَقْرَأْ عَلَيْهِ فَوَاتِحَ سُورَةِ الْكَهْفِ. The hadith is narrated also by An-Nawas ibn Sam'an and collected by Imam Muslim. If any of you happen to witness the false Messiah, may the Almighty Allah preserve us against that, let him recite the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf or the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. It is not fair to say so and just take it as is. It is very important to understand why. What is the significance of Surah Al-Kahf to begin with? And particularly the first or the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. Number one, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said in the hadith, مَنْ قَرَأَ سُورَةَ الْكَهْفِ كَمَا نَزَلَتْ كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ مَقَامِهِ إِلَى مَكَّةِ ومن قرأ عشر آيات من آخرها ثم خرج الدجال لم يسلط عليه. Hadith is collected by Imam Tabarani. He said, peace be upon him, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf, chapter number 18 of the glorious Quran, as it was revealed, it will be simply nur. He will have a light from his place all the way to Mecca. This light will stretch out all the way from his place to Mecca. And whoever recites the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, and then the false Messiah has emerged, لم يسلط عليه, he will be protected again as the false Messiah, and he shall have no control over him. Furthermore, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, من قرأ سورة الكهف ليلة الجمعة. Whoever recites this particular surah on Friday night. When is Friday night? Friday night in our calendar is not Friday evening. Okay? It is not when they have their happy hour. No. Friday night begins at sunset on Thursday because the night precedes the day. And that's why once we cite the crescent of Ramadan, we pray Taraweeh on the last day of Sha'ban, even though we haven't fasted yet. But it is, because tomorrow is going to be Ramadan and the night precedes the day. And while we're praying Isha on the last day of Ramadan, if the moon is sighted, tomorrow is the beginning of the month of Shawwal, which means tomorrow is going to be Eid, we call it off. We don't pray Taraweeh on that night. It's over. You want to pray Tahajjud at home? You can do that. So the night precedes the day. So the best time to recite Surah Al-Kahf on Friday to get the promised reward is you have all the way from sunset on Thursday until sunset of Friday. That is 24 hours. من قرأ سورة الكهف ليلة الجمعة أضاء له من النور ما بينه وبين البيت العتيق. Whoever recites this surah on the night of Jumu'ah will have a light that will stretch between him and البيت العتيق. What is البيت العتيق? ثم محلها إلى البيت العتيق. البيت العتيق means the ancient house. The ancient house, which is Al-Kaaba. Because in the other ayah, the Almighty Allah says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The very first house of worship put on earth for people is the one which is established and built in Mecca. Al-Kaaba al-Musharrafa is also called Al-Bayt al-Atiq. As Allah the Almighty said, ثُمَّ مَحِلُّهَا إِلَى الْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. So now, this is as far as the place, similar to the previous hadith. You will have nur, you will have light, illuminating and lighting the space between your location and Mecca. And in the following hadith, it talks about the time. So we have the place, and now we're going to have the time, the blessings of the time. The Prophet ﷺ said, من قرأ سورة الكهف في يوم الجمعة. So now in the previous hadith who spoke about the night, and this hadith speaking about the daytime. أضاء له من نور ما بين الجمعتين. A light will be lit for him between the Jumu'ah and the following Jumu'ah if he got to recite it on the following Jumu'ah as well. So a person who keeps reciting Surah Al-Kahf every Friday will have his entire life lit with nur. As far as time and as far as place, the distance between his place and Mecca will be lit with nur, will have nur shedding from him all the way to Al-Bayt Al-Atiq. Will have light lit for him from this Jumu'ah and until the following Jumu'ah. Surah Al-Kahf, brothers and sisters, contained very interesting stories, beginning with the story of Ashab Al-Kahf. And that's why it was called Surah Al-Kahf. I filmed a program for Dr. Dhakir Naik, Peace TV. It's called Treasures from the Cave, where I tried my best to cover, as much as we can in about 30 episodes, the beautiful lessons and the gems from Surah Al-Kahf. So you can find it, inshallah, online. You can watch it for free as well. Treasures from the Cave pertaining to Surah Al-Kahf. He insisted that I should film that program in his studios. May Allah bless him and protect him. So Surah Al-Kahf contains many treasures. The story of the people at the cave, the story of Moses and the Khadr, the story of the just king Dhul-Qarnayn and building the high dam that separates and protects humanity against Gog and Magog. And also it has the confirmation of resurrection, life after death, gathering, blowing in the trumpet, and then explaining who are the winners versus who are the greatest losers. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ. Towards the last 8 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. So those ayat, brothers and sisters, alert us to the concept of the oneness of Allah. It sheds some light on some very powerful and influencing stories from the past, whether the people, the youth, who took shelter in the cave, to preserve their iman, their tawheed and monotheism, because they lived during the time of a tyrant king who claimed that he's the Lord. So they fled and they took shelter in the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to sleep for 309 years. And it was such a miracle. And then he brought them back to life. And when the people realized that those people, you know, they slept over so many years, hundreds of years, they have been like an ayah approved to the oneness of Allah. Very interesting story. And the sequence of how Musa alayhi salam begged Al-Khadr to join him, to learn from him, and the lessons that he learned from joining with Al-Khadr. And also the story of the man with the two gardens, who was not a believer, and his companion was a believer, but he was broke, and he thought that because he was rich, that means God loved him, while his poor companion asked him and enjoined him to be grateful to Allah, to worship Allah and to recognize his oneness. But he denied all of that. So he was ruined and he lost everything, and he regretted that. Also the command of the Prophet of Allah to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to say to a thing that I shall do it in the morrow without saying God willing. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. And the command of remembering Allah in case that you may forget. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Beautiful, beautiful surah. So it is highly recommended, brothers and sisters. I can't have enough sharing the story with my kids, with my students, over and over and over. There is countless and non-ending lessons from Surah Al-Kahf. So the person who memorizes the first 10 ayat and the last 10 ayat, and he recites them in case that the false Messiah emerges, he will be protected. That's a perfect deal, because people will join him in groups and groups and groups. Vast majority of people will follow him. But when they see Al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah Al-Mahdi, then Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, descending and leading the Muslim army, the Messiah will disappear. And he will dissolve like salt and water. But Jesus the son of Mary is not going to leave him alone. He will chase him all the way to the gate of Lod in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds, so that he will slay him and will kill him. So brothers and sisters, we are being tried and tested on a regular basis with much lesser tests and trials. Those who fail those tests and trials, I wonder, how will they do in case that the false Messiah, the imposter, the Antichrist emerges, and he shows that he can give life and he can cause people to die and he can grow the plants? It will be a big trial. May Allah protect us against it. Last hadith in the chapter, inshallah. So we'll begin next segment with a new hadith. Hadith number 1022. An Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. بينما جبريل عليه السلام قاعد عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع نقيضا من فوقه فرفع رأسه فقال هذا باب من السماء فتح اليوم ولم يفتح قط إلا اليوم فنزل منه ملك فقال هذا ملك نزل إلى الأرض لم ينزل قط إلا اليوم فسلم وقال أبشر بنورين أوتيتهما لم يؤتهما نبي قبلك فاتحة الكتاب وخواتيم سورة البقرة لن تقرأ بحرف منها إلا أعطيته رواه مسلم. We studied this hadith whenever we were learning the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, or the greatest chapter in the entire Quran. So what we'll do is we'll read its meaning in English, then inshallah we'll wrap it up. Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that while Gabriel, peace be upon him, was sitting with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, he heard a sound above him. So he lifted his head and he said, this is a gate which has been opened in heaven today. It was never opened before. Then an angel descended through it. He said, this is an angel who has come down to earth. He never came down before. He sent greetings and he said, rejoice with two lights given to you. Such lights were not given to any prophet before you. These two lights are Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening of the book, the mother of the book, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and the last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, from Aman al-Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun, all the way to the end. Then he said, you will never recite a word from them without being given blessings, the blessings that it contains, because they are in the form of invocations. So those invocations that you recited in Al-Fatiha by saying Ihdina, you will be rightly guided. By saying La tu'akhizna in nasina aw akhtana, then Allah will not pardon you in case you forget or you err. لا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به اعف عنا اغفر لنا ارحمنا. All of that, these are all invocations in the last 10 verses, in the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, you will be granted an answer and qabool to your invocation. Inshallah, we'll be back in a couple minutes to resume with a new chapter. Please stay tuned. رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back. Our phone numbers beginning with the area code are 002, then 02-3855-131. The other number is same area code, then 0100-546-9323. And the WhatsApp number is area code 001-347-80625. And we have some questions on the page, but I believe there is a caller first. Let me take the call. Assalamu alaikum. Ali from the Maldives.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program, Ali.
Thank you, brother. How are you, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Tonight I have a question regarding an Islamic perspective on laziness, how to deal with it. So, for example, the daily activities for having a shower, to have a brush in the morning, so to fight the laziness as an Islamic perspective, to combat it. So this also results in to have laziness in ablution as a whole thing.
Okay.
So can you please tell me how to overcome it from an Islamic perspective, please, brother?
Sure, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Let me take first Sister Rania's question. Rania Mas'ud is asking, I want to know whether it's allowed for a wife to be buried with her husband in the same grave. Well, originally, every person should be buried in a separate and independent laht or grave, whether men or women, except in some cases, such as on the day of the Battle of Uhud, when 70 of the Sahaba were martyred. They came to the Messenger of Allah and they said, we're worn out. And, you know, it's a burdensome for us to dig graves for all those shuhada. So he said, احفروا وأعمقوا. Dig and make the hole deeper, and you can bury two and even up to three in the same grave. And the precedence will be for the one who has more Quran or learned more Quran to be honored. So a husband and wife, a brother and sister, a mother and son, in case that we don't have a place to bury people, you know, in the West, a graveyard costs maybe more than a flat in some other countries. So it's not really affordable to have a grave for every person. If we don't have the property, if we don't have the place, we have limited spots, and it's a husband and wife, yes, we can bury them, and we put a barrier with the dirt, okay? Or we have bricks between the two bodies. If we have three dead in the same accident, parents and a child, so we'll put the child in between, the male and the female. But in the regular and under regular circumstances, every person should be buried in a separate grave. Okay? Brother Ali from the Maldives, how does Islam counter laziness and, you know, how to overcome that? Number one, we know that Islam is the religion of enthusiasm, activities, activeness. And you find that from the fact that Muslims are the only people who get up even before sunrise. They get up early morning before sunrise. They do not just get up early morning to go to work. No, they get up and they freshen up, they pray, they recite their adhkar, then they start their day. This is generally speaking in Islam. I know that some Muslims do not do that. And they only wake up to go to work. I'm talking about the Islamic teachings here. Then the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used not to sleep after praying Fajr, neither him nor his companions. And he used to say, Al-barakatu fil bukur. Al-baraka, the increase in one's wealth, the baraka in the rizq, in the trade, in the business, in the early hours of the day. Not to get up after several hours of sunrise or at noon or afternoon and you think that you're going to start your day. No. The best provision and the best business to do early morning, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Then whenever he would wake up in the morning and after praying Fajr and before sunrise, he would recite a particular dua asking Allah to protect him and to help him to overcome laziness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَاجِزِ وَالْكَسَلِ. And I seek refuge with you against disability and laziness. And it's not only dua. So dua in the morning and dua invocation in the evening before sunset on daily basis. This is a beautiful supplication. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والجبن والبخل. Very comprehensive invocation. Morning and evening. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he saw one of his companions coming back from work and his hands were worn out, you know, the guy used to fetch water and the robe was made of fiber, so the hand were like worn out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are two hands which Allah and his messenger love. Allah and his messenger love. And he said in the hadith that there is no better food to eat than the food which you have earned or bought or purchased out of your own earning. And the prophets of Allah used to work to earn the living. And Nabiullah Dawood alayhi salam, he was a king, but he used to eat only from the profit generated by his own work and handiwork, and so on. So in Islam, there is no laziness. You find, last but not the least, for the sake of time, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. A strong and a powerful believer is better, is dearer, is nearer and closer to Allah than a weak believer. And this strength and weakness is concerning not only faith, activities, earning, provision, muscles, exercise, knowledge. And then he said, وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. The upper hand is the hand which gives. It is better than the hand which takes and bags. Yes, they're all believers, but the one who gives is better, nearer, and dearer to Allah than the one who just takes. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Abu Abdul Rahman from the United Kingdom. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, ya Sheikh.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the program.
Now, I just like to comment about this program because I can remember about 5 years ago when I was still in college when it started, and alhamdulillah, until today, now I've graduated.
MashaAllah.
I'm still doing wonderful, wonderful work.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah yubarak feekum.
Wa feekum barak.
Wa falkum.
Ameen. Same to you. Same to you.
The second thing is that I don't know if it's possible for the team, Huda team, to make the videos like in maybe parts for the hadith so that the larger audience can benefit from the videos, from the explanation, inshallah.
Okay. You know, you just called in the right time. It couldn't be better than that. We couldn't have arranged it or planned it better than that. You know, a lot of people, the viewers behind the screen, may think that Huda TV is a huge institute where we have tens of workers. No, it is not like that. It's a very small family. Very small family. Only one person is in the prep department. He is the manager, and he is a supervisor, and he is the preparation employee. So he's doing all the programs, he's attending with me and with all the chief, one person. And this is how much we can afford. And for the IT, we only have one person, mashallah. So we're struggling, all of that, we're trying to cut down the expenses. The salaries of all the workers in the channel is not even the salary of one person who would be working or living abroad. That includes the general manager, the directors, the cameraman, everybody. It's a big surprise. You're not going to believe that. But by the grace of Allah, everybody is happy, alhamdulillah. So what I'm trying to say that, let's say any person dreams of anything. Yesterday, I got a visitor. He did a magnificent program, a series, a drama about Imam Bukhari in the 3 and 4D cartoons. I like to buy it and do the voice over in English and in French and in Spanish, but I'm short-handed, I cannot do it. I like to put it on the screen so that the youth would enjoy a new program about Imam Bukhari and learn what is the Sunnah, what are the Ahadith, and they will at least learn something to benefit them, and they will be capable to refute many misconceptions about the Sunnah. Beautiful, beautiful program. I cannot buy it, you know. I'm only taking gifts or sponsorship. So yes, Brother Abdurrahman from the UK, you're so right. I wish that we have somebody who can cut the clips, each hadith separate and post them separate. I don't have this luxury. I don't have somebody, or I cannot afford to hire somebody to do it. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Brothers and sisters, the beginning of the new chapter, chapter number 184, it's only one hadith, and I'd like to take it before we wrap it up. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful chapter, and a fantastic hadith. I just love this hadith. This hadith is talking about us right now. Abdurrahman from the UK, Ali from the Maldives, whoever is from Canada, from the States, all of those are watching, listen carefully. The hadith is talking about us. The chapter is about the recommendation and desirability of getting together for the recitation of the Noble Quran and learning the Deen. Hadith number 1023. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. The hadith is a sound hadith and collected by Imam Muslim. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, any group of people, any group of Muslims who get together in one of the houses of Allah to study the Quran and to recite it, they will get the following privileges. Number one, sakina, tranquility and serenity will descend upon them. The second privilege, غَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, Allah's mercy will engulf them, will envelope them. The third privilege, وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the angels will surround them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ, and the Almighty Allah will make mention of them before those who are in His proximity, yani the gathering of al-mala' al-a'la, al-mala'ika, or the angels. In fact, the hadith is narrated also with a different narration to broaden the spectrum of not just sitting in the masjid, not just reading Quran, but listen to this. Also narrated by Abu Huraira and collected by Imam Muslim. مَا جَلَسَ قَوْمٌ مَجْلِسًا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا حَفَّتْ بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وذكرهم الله في من عنده. Whenever any group of people get together anywhere, in my house, in your house, around the screen, you're watching a beneficial knowledge. You're making the dhikr of Allah in the form of correcting your citation, of learning the meaning of this ayah, of increasing your iman, of encouraging you to repent, of refuting misconceptions about the deen, of inviting others to the deen of Allah. Anything that has anything to do with the beautiful religious duties and the knowledge of the deen or the remembrance of Allah, this gathering has been blessed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the angels will surround them. Mercy will envelop them. And Allah the Almighty will make mention of them before a gathering better than their gathering in Al-Mala'i Al-A'la. The question is, you know, what does it mean he will make mention of them? And, you know, what kind of dhikr being recited? You said, يذكرون الله. They celebrate the praise of Allah. Is it like saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, making dhikr, only reciting Quran, or that applies also to what we're doing right now? Learning sunnah, learning a hadith, learning the meaning of the ayat. Perhaps this hadith will help us to comprehend the meaning. It's a beautiful hadith. I love this hadith as well. In the sound hadith, which was collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Almighty has created angels who are sayyara. Sayyara, يعني they walk through the earth. They travel through the earth. يطوفون في الطرق يلتمسون أهل الذكر. Their exclusive task is to search and look for people who are commemorating and celebrating the praise of Allah. And once they locate them, تنادوا. If any of the angels found a gathering in Cairo, Egypt, or in Houston, Texas, or in London in Canada, there is London in Canada as well, or here or there, in Beijing in China, they will call each other, come on over, come on over. Why? Because there is majlis of dhikr. There are some people here, whether in the masjid, or in one's house, or here or there, getting together in the Hyde Park. Why? They're reciting Quran, they're making dhikr, they're learning the deen. Get together, get together. هَلُمُّ إِلَىٰ حَاجَتِكُمْ. Come, this is what you're looking for. So the angels will gather. يَحُفُّونَهُمْ بِأَجْنِحَتِهِمْ. We know that the angels have wings. الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاثة ورباع يزيد في الخلق ما شاء. So in the beginning of Surah Fatir, Allah says that Allah created the angels with wings, 2, 3, 4, and He increases as much as He wants. يلتمسون أهل الذكر. So they beat with their wings and they surround this gathering. And guess what? A gathering where the angels arrive, Satan and his host have no room. They take off, they run away. فيسألهم الله ماذا وجدتم عبادي. So they gather in the worldly heaven, they look at them, they surround them. Then Allah the Almighty will ask those angels when they ascend, how did you find my servants? They say, وجدناهم يسبحونك ويحمدونك ويمجدونك ويكبرونك. They were in a state of glorifying and praising and exalting you. فيقولوا ماذا يريدون. The Almighty Allah says, and what for? Why are they glorifying me and praising me and exalting me? Why? What do they want? What do we want? By the end of the gathering, we raise our hands and we ask Allah for qabool, for forgiveness, for pardon, dua, correct? To enter Jannah, to be saved from hellfire. So the angels say, يُرِيدُونَ جَنَّتَكَ. They have been making dua. They want to enter paradise. So the Almighty Allah says, وَهَلْ رَأَوْهَا. And have they seen my heaven? The angels will answer in the negative. No, of course not. They haven't. So the Almighty Allah will say, كَيْفَ وَلَوْ رَأَوْهَا. What about if they have seen it? I mean, they are doing this much effort, then they are asking me for heaven even though they haven't seen it. What if they see it? Allahu Akbar. The angels will say, then they will do even more and more and more. لَكَانُوا أَشَدَّ تَحْمِيدًا وَتَكْبِيرًا وَتَمْجِيدًا وَعِبَادَةً. The Almighty Allah will ask them, and what do they seek refuge against? They say, they seek refuge with you against hellfire. And then he asks them, have they seen it? The answer is in the negative. The angels will answer, no, they haven't. Then the Almighty Allah will say, and what if they have seen it? Then they will say, لَكَانُوا أَشَدَّ خَوْفًا وَحَذَرًا مِّنْهَا. Most certainly they will be much more careful and even seeking more refuge in you against that. The Almighty Allah will say, أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. Will say to the reporters of the angels, bear witness that I have forgiven them their sins. But the angels will say, oh Allah, إِنَّ فِيهِمْ فُلَانًا لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ وَإِنَّمَا جَاءَ لِحَاجَةٍ فَجَلَسْ. In fact, they all deserve that, but such and such person, this person, he came for a different purpose. He didn't come willingly to attend the halqa or the dhikr or to learn. He came because he wanted to meet with this person or to meet with that person or for any worldly purpose. So the Almighty Allah says, هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَى بِهِمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ. There are such people. Whoever happened to be sitting with them shall be included in the mercy, in the tranquility, in the pardon and forgiveness. Why? For just mere hanging around and sitting with them. Some people, brothers and sisters, as I was told by them, there was a non-Muslim tourist. She got sick and she was hospitalized. And in the hospital, she was flipping the channels, looking for any English channel. And she found Huda TV. Non-Muslim in the hospital, you can consider her captive audience. So she started watching. She liked it. And then she accepted Islam. In a separate incident, I have a girl from Belgium. She accepted Islam through watching Huda TV. And she learned everything about her deen through watching these programs. You see, هم القوم لا يشقى بهم جليسهم. May the Almighty Allah gather all of us by His mercy in the highest place in paradise, in Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, with our most beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رسول الله حبيب الله. Allah our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them. Allah our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them. So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about it in paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price. So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling their best with the cheapest price. Rasulullah, Habib Allah, Rasulullah.